Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a good day. It has been a good day.
I thank God for it.
I've had some heartaches and pain, a little sunshine and rain, some ups, some downs, some smiles and some frowns. But it's been a good day. Yes, it has. Thank you, love. Been a good day. I've got my help and strength, and I know that I give time. It's been a good day, and I thank God for it. It's been a good day. I've been lied on and cheated, talked about in the street, up and down, had some smiles, had some frowns. Oh, it's been a good day. I want to thank you for another good day. I've got my health and my strength. And I know that I it's time. Thank you, Lord. You see, we should be grateful for all that it gives us. We should be thankful that he let us see a brand new. Oh, bless your name, oh, my Lord. I'm so thankful for everything that he gives me. I'm grateful that he let me see a brand new day. Oh, yes, I am. I just want to take a little time to thank God for it. I want to thank God for it. I want to thank God for it. I want to thank God for it. All of my help and strength. And then to know that I'm in time. Leave, I take a little more time.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is February 8th, 2022, and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I am glad you have joined us tonight. It has been a good day. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are worshiping virtually only. There's just a few people who are in the sanctuary on Sunday morning. However, we direct you to our Facebook page. Go there, First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page. Don't forget to like and then share so others will know that First Baptist is on the air. On the Facebook page, you will find our Sunday morning service. We go live every Sunday morning from the sanctuary of First Baptist at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You can watch the services on our Facebook page. Also on the Facebook page, you'll find the link to the Bible study, which you're listening to now. For those of you who would like to listen over the internet, there is a web link that you can click on. It will take you directly there. If you would like to call in and be a part of the Bible study, there is a call-in number, area code 845-241-9839, area code 845-241-9839. You can call in. You can be a part of the Bible study. All of the Bible studies are archived. That means that all of them have been recorded. And so there may be times when you would like to hear one of the Bible studies. You can simply go to our Facebook page, and you can find the Bible study that you would like to hear. Click on that link, and you can hear that Bible study. All of the Bible studies are archived. All of the sermons are archived. Just simply go to the Facebook page, and you can find all the pertinent information concerning First Baptist, the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina, and the Wake Baptist Association. Now, there are three ways in which you can give to the house of God. You can come by the church any Sunday between the hour of 10 and 11:30. Trustees are there to make sure that all of your contributions and tithes are counted. You can also mail your contributions and your tithes into the church. Go to the Facebook page and find the correct mailing address for that. Also, we do have a Cash App. The Cash App starts with a dollar sign and the letters FBCHS, FBCHS, that stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can use the Cash App and you can be a supporter of the house of God tonight. As I said in the opening, I thank God for all of you who are on the line tonight. Thank you for those who will listen to this Bible study long after it's been recorded. We pray that something there would be seed sown in good soil. Long after this Bible study is over, it will bear forth fruit. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for those who are on the line. We thank you for those who are watching or listening over the internet, and for those who may hear this Bible study later. We pray, God, that as we go through our Bible study tonight, you will give us clarity in our minds and in our hearts as to what thus saith the Lord. As we go into your scriptures, O Lord, give us an understanding of what you have to say to us today. We thank you for First Baptist of Holly Springs. We thank you for each and every person on the line tonight and those who will hear this Bible study later. We pray, God, that they'll be blessed, that they will enjoy the Bible study that we have tonight. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Our lesson tonight is called A New Covenant, A New Covenant. Coming from the book of Jeremiah, this prophecy of Jeremiah is one of the most important prophecies of the New Testament. It is the only prophecy of the New Testament that has the New Covenant in it. It has been widely quoted in the New Testament and is used in the debates concerning the end time prophecy. So it is profitable to take a look at the prophecy itself to see what it does say as well as which way it directs us to go. Passage begins with the Lord directly addressing the house of Israel and the house of Judea. Even though Judah was hanging on to its national identity, the house of Israel had lost their identity over 100 years earlier when they were taken into exile by the Assyrian and dispersed among the client states far away. And so our lesson tonight comes from this great prophet, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. We're in Jeremiah 31 and 31. I will pause while you find it. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31 and 31. A covenant is not simply an agreement between two parties. Covenants are not arbitrary. They are binding. Covenants are special relationships by which the parties enter into a binding commitment with one another. This commitment relationship makes a demand on each party. In the Bible, we see all types of covenants. There are the covenants that were made between the groups and nations, as is the case of Joshua 9, when the people of Gibeon covenanted with the children of Israel. Still, another type of covenant was demonstrated in the relationship between David and Saul's son, Jonathan. This relationship is not a trivial friendship. The scriptures tell us that the soul of Jonathan was knitted to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. The New and the throughout the Old Testament, the covenant between God and the children of Israel provides that God offers them his love and his protection, and in return his people pledge to worship and to serve him alone. So our lesson tonight takes place in a period of biblical history when the people of Judea were defeated and taken by the powerful nation of Babylonia. Following a year-long siege, the capital city of Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed in 587 BC. Deportation and removal of those who were defeated was a common military practice of the Babylonians and other nations. The actual deportation of the people of Judah took place in three waves. The first was in 606 BC when David and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken along with other prospects to work in the Babylonian government. The second deportation happened at 588 BC when King Zedekiah and more leaders were removed from Judea. The third wave started in 582 BC when Nebuchadnezzar took 4,600 heads of families along with their wives and their children. The Babylonians probably only took people who would be useful to them. That would include people like priests, people like craftsmen, business owners, the wealthy, those that had skills to offer the Babylonian Empire. The Bible implies that the captives were resettled in a single area, which allowed them to continue to practice their religion and their culture. But theoretically, the nation of Judea ceased to exist after 587 BC, and the former inhabitants of Judah no longer had a homeland. The people who were left behind in Judah were called the people of the land, and they were primarily poor, elderly, diseased, disenfranchised, or described as suffering from widespread famine, and you will find that in the book of Lamentations. Jeremiah, the final prophet there is, Jeremiah is the final prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah. He was from Anathoth, a priestly community belonging to the tribe of Benjamin. Under the instructions of the Lord, Jeremiah wrote to the people of Judea who had been captured and taken into captivity by the powerful nation of Babylonia. Despite aberrations and warnings delivered by the priests like Jeremiah, the people of Judah had shown themselves unwilling to change. They were unwilling to repent. Here we see that Judah knowingly and willfully breached their covenant with God. Although they continued to go through the motions of worship, it was only a ritualized affair that greatly displeased God. And like I said, this greatly displeased God. Their religious pomp and circumstance was not backed by faithfulness to God. Adding to them, religious leaders who practiced superstition and predictions that the temple in Jerusalem would never fall into the hands of the Babylonians. Jeremiah continues to prophesy to the people of Judea to let them know that God would restore their relationship with him through a new covenant. This new covenant would bind them to the Lord in a unique and different way. It would also give them the ability to obey the stipulations of this covenant and to experience the Lord in their midst. So when we go to Jeremiah 31 and 31, I'm going to read 31 and 32. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. 32. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break or broke, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. God knew that Jeremiah would not be taken into captivity with the rest of the Israelite nation. And so he had him to write this prophecy so future generations would be able to read of God's plan for them and to have a sense of hope. If you go back and you read about Jeremiah, you'll realize that Jeremiah was locked up at the time of the deportations. And so Jeremiah was not taken prisoner and deported like others were. And so beginning with this passage, the Lord, Yahweh, the self-existing one, would continue his message of hope to the nation of Israel and Judah. God's promise includes the making of a new covenant with the nation of Israel and Judah. You'll find that also in Hebrews 8, 8 through 9. Previously, God had covenanted with their people at Mount Sinai. Moses was given God's law for the nation to observe. These laws required effort on the part of the Israelites and could be understood in a more materialistic sense. The new covenant that God will make in the days of these new days means that these covenants will be different. It looks forward to the time of Christ and the grace of God that will be available only through Christ. Even though God took the children of Israel by the hand, led them out of Egypt, and walked with them in the wilderness, the way of like a husband would walk with his wife, they would be unfaithful to him, and they would break that covenant. You see, this Mosaic covenant, the Israelites were able to break, to make void, or to annul, because it demanded a particular behavior. However, the new covenant that God was promising through Jeremiah to make was the nation would be grounded in the work of Christ and require only acceptance of him to trigger God's grace. In this way, the new covenant was to be a much better covenant between God and his people. So when we get to verse 33, it says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now you see, because God's new covenant would be located in the inward parts of each person and written on their hearts, it differentiates itself from the old covenant that was written on stone. You see, the old covenant was written by the finger of God on stone tablets, and through Moses was laid before the people for them to observe and to adhere to accept or reject. Under the old covenant, if God's laws were accepted, then they would be followed and could be received into their hearts. However, the possibility remained that they would reject God's law. Embedded within the old covenant, kernels of righteousness that would be the fruit of obedience and adherence to the commands of the law. But those kernels were presented externally to the people. The new covenant was to be internal, and righteousness would come on the basis of belief in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Because of Christ, God's blessing would be bestowed spiritually on the basis of grace, not commanded, but freely given. See, through nations with Christ who believe, whether Jew or Gentile, would be God's people, and God would be their God. The promise of a new covenant should be understood as a completion of the old covenant, where God pledged his special relationship between himself and his people. You'll find that in Exodus 29 and 45, also Leviticus 26 and 12. In verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his brother, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. This is a particularly important scripture. See, the light and knowledge of God will be freely available to all who believe. Under this new covenant, it will be no longer necessary for anyone to receive individual instruction or have others teach the ways of God, because everyone will personally have access to God and his wisdom. Nothing of God will be hidden from the people, because his laws and his precepts will be written internally upon each individual's heart. And all who will know for themselves what pleases or displeases God. You see, in the old covenant, they would have to refer back and forth to the laws that Moses had. But in this new covenant, God has said he's going to put righteousness in your heart. You know when you're wrong. You don't need a piece of paper to tell you when you're wrong today. We do have laws. But most people who break laws, they know they're breaking laws when they break them. So that internal understanding has what been placed into the hearts of man. We no longer need to ask if this is right or ask if this is wrong. We know when we're right, and we know when we're wrong. Paul said that even when I want to do right, I still do wrong. So we must understand today that we have the capacity to do right and to do wrong. And because we have that capacity, we have the capacity to accept this new covenant or reject this new covenant. In the event that errors and judgments are made, God will forgive our iniquity, wrongdoing, or transgressions, and in forgiving, will remember the offenses no more. This is a glorious promise to future Israel and to all who come to know God through Jesus Christ and through him. And this is why we say that once we accept Christ, we are saved. Our sins have been forgiven. We no longer have to go to the temple and slaughter the beast or the cow or the lamb. We no longer have to do ritualistic symbolic ceremonies. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take care of that for us. And that is the new covenant. That's the new covenant. We don't have to do the things that the old covenant folk had to do. But the righteousness within us is accounted as the grace of God. So in verse 35, thus saith the Lord of hosts, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. Verse 36, if those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me and forever. These verses proceed to show how God and his intrinsic nature cannot fail in the fulfillment of this covenant he has made with us and he has made with Israel. God created, God controls, God sustains, God put the sun in the place and established its purpose to give light and heat to the earth. He then puts the moon in its place and the stars with it, according to his ordinances, his commands, his enactments are prescribed in the Bible. They have their regular duties. The sun does what it's supposed to do. The moon does what it's supposed to do. God divided the day from the night to cause the bounds of the sea. When the waves threaten to overrun the bounds, he quiets those waves with a word. These things must be so because they all exist to serve God. God's people and his church need only look around and observe nature to understand that it is a subject to the ordinances and relies on the faithfulness for its existence. This holy people and his church, the seed of Israel, will not cease or come to an end without his sanction. Just like all things are controlled by God, so are the number of our days and the times of our days. And if we are to be called a holy people, if we are to be called a church of God or the seed of Israel, we must know today to keep the new covenant that God has placed before us. I suggest to you today that many problems that we have in our society is because this new covenant has not been kept by the people. And whenever God's word is not kept, there's always major, major consequences. Verse 37, thus saith the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth search out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. It is nearly impossible for man to measure the heavens or determine the foundations of the earth. God's word established the heavens and the earth, and that same word declares that they are hung upon nothing but the word of God. Believing this to be true, God's people and his church can be assured that he has the power and the goodness to be faithful to his promises. He has made us a promise and has given us a new covenant. Inquirers will be, iniquities will be pardoned and forgotten. Nations will be rebuilt. Future generations will be enlarged and protected. And God will be their God throughout all eternity. This is the gift of grace to all the seed that will come in the future. All of the descendants, all of the offspring, they will all prosper under God, the God of Israel, who embraced Christ as their Lord alone. We must remember today that as we study our lesson, we must keep in mind that Judah's continued unfaithfulness and failure to return to God was a national breach of their covenant with him. This initial covenant was made at Mount Sinai after the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt. Now, Jeremiah declares that God is instituting a new covenant. There is to be a change in the relationship between God and his chosen people. Jeremiah clearly names the nations or houses of Israel and Judah as priests and ultimate recipients of the new covenant. Jeremiah points out that this new covenant will be quite different from the previous Mosaic covenant. It will recall, you will recall that while Moses was talking to God, the children of Israel had grown impatient. And the Bible says that they constructed a golden calf to worship. You'll find that in Exodus 32. Thus, the initial covenant was broken before Moses could even come down from the mountain. Moreover, the phrase, I took them by the hand, when he says, I took them by the hand, shows us the parental approach that God used toward Israel. It is very interesting to note that the imagery that Jeremiah uses to describe God's faithfulness toward Israel is that of a husband to his wife. While a husband and wife relationship certainly makes the point in faithfulness, it is a bit odd that such an analogy would be used to describe the relationship between the Creator and his obviously inferior creation. Here we see the loving quality of God's character exemplified. As the children of Israel wandered through the hostile desert, God, like a loving husband, protected them, provided for them, showed them the way to go. This imagery also foreshadows Christ's fulfillment in the New Testament as a loving husband to his bride, the church. Jeremiah goes on to point out a major difference between the Mosaic and the New Covenant, its character. The previous covenant had been written on stone. It had been a logistic mechanism whereby the people would follow the laws and statutes of God. But this new covenant would be intrinsic in nature, and so it would be inscribed in the hearts. Here we see that God wants his people to recognize the corrupt efforts of their sin. That is actually destroying them both externally and internally. Our faithfulness, you see, to God is predicated on our relationship with him. It is intensely personal and it's intimate. You see, his laws must be spared and shared in our hearts so that we may serve him because our very will has been changed. When God's words are inscribed in our hearts, you say, not my will, but thy will be done. More importantly, God declares that I will be their God and they will be my people. This clearly describes God's great promise, one that will be an asset in each successful generation. This covenant with man was a great covenant that God pronounced upon his people. Jeremiah knows that the earlier Mosaic covenant relied heavily on legalism. Thus, the laws, the temple, and the sacrificial offerings would stand as proof as the absolute forgiveness of the people's sins. All of these objects simulated fear and uncertainty in the people and in their understanding of God. But God wanted them to have this understanding in their hearts and in their minds. And so he wanted them to understand that this new covenant, they would rely on love rather than fear. As the principal motivation for obedience, it would be love and it would be faithfulness to God. In these verses, Jeremiah offers even greater hope to the captives to whom he is writing. It is God, the prophet says, who can control the uncontrollable, the intricate cycles of day and night, and the motion and movement of seas are under his sovereign control. God alone orders and controls nature. Jeremiah now presents a powerful image for us readers. In order for Israel not to belong to God, God would have to discard his control of nature itself, something that clearly cannot happen since the God alone is sovereign. Only God is all-knowing. Only God is all-giving. And since there is no one who can know these marvelous secrets of nature, then the captives would rest in the assurance that Israel would gain by being a nation of God's chosen people. God and God alone, the prophet declares, is able to restore his people. And only he can hold any power against them. Jeremiah is clear that the blessings of God's new covenant will be experienced by the full restored nation. More importantly, present-day believers have the assurance through Christ that the blessings of God's new covenant have been extended to us as well. You see, in today's world, agreements are continually made and broken. It seems that no man's word can be trusted. corporations make agreements with their customers that they really readily break. Governments make agreements with their citizens and with other nations only to break those as well. God gives us more than just a flimsy human agreement. You see, his new covenant is backed by Jesus' death on the cross. This was a demonstration and pledge of his love for us. Our response ought to be one of gratitude and sharing his love with others. And so this is our lesson for a new covenant. I'm going to open the lines. There may be some tonight who would like to speak on the lesson, who would like to add something. Perhaps you have read something about Jeremiah in this 31st chapter, and you might like to share with us what you know about Jeremiah and about this particular scripture. But as I said before, this scripture is very important for us today. And then again, we must understand it's still in present power. In other words, are we keeping the covenant, our part of the covenant? Are we doing what we're supposed to do as a people, as a community, as a church? Have we kept the covenant with God as God has given unto us? Or have we been just like the first group of people who, even while God was giving them a covenant, they found themselves making an idol god because they didn't know or trust God? How do we fare from the people who received the first covenant? And do you think we do any better than the people who had the first covenant? I'm going to go to the lines. We're going to call the area code. I will call the last four digits of your number. If you would like to speak, you're not obligated to, but if you would like to speak, you can do so. If not, you can just simply say, I'm just listening. That is just perfectly fine, and we'll move right ahead. Area code 919, last four digits, 3447. Are you on the line? 3447.
Hey,
are you on the line?
This is Dick Pope.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Like to say something about the Bible study?
No, I was just listening and taking it all. I have nothing to add. I'm just going to go back and read more about Jeremiah. But I don't think we would have fared. When you're talking about the first covenant, you're talking about when he was brought out of Egypt. I think your question was, do you think we would have fared better? And the covenant was, and Jesus was in the equation there. I think we had a living example where we would have fared better, because we were able to see, you know, going back to what you were saying last week about all the miracles and things that he was doing, it was easier for us to believe these things, because you had God in the flesh amongst you at that time.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so very much. Area code 919, last four digits, 2314. Are you on the line, Trustee Mangum?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Doing great. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Hanging in here.
Good.
I enjoyed the lesson. I did jump some studies a little bit. The only thing I have to say here is that we know that Jesus himself, we know he was the mediator of this new covenant between God and man. In other words, new covenant is the promise that God makes with mankind that he will forgive sin and restore communion with those who hearts believe in his son, Jesus Christ. And we see here that the new covenant, however, like you said, changes the heart. And God replaces our hard, or you can say stony heart of sin with a new heart.
Right.
And then he places his Holy Spirit within us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If you remember back in the Old Testament, when someone broke the law, it was punishable by death.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the laws were punishable by death. And that kept people afraid, and that's why they obeyed the law, because they were afraid they were going to die. But what Jeremiah is saying, mm-hmm. God's going to do away with that, because he doesn't want people to be afraid to do right. He wants people to know to do right. And that's what
mm-hmm.
it's all about. That's what that new covenant, and that comes through the faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ, through the teachings of Jesus Christ, knowing what is right
mm-hmm.
and putting it in your heart, so you won't have to go through the things that the people who before you. That's
mm-hmm.
good. Thank you. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, that's it. I don't want to be saying redundancy. You're saying the same things
okay.
you already taught us.
Okay. Okay. Area code 757, last four digits, 5803. 5803. Are you on the line?
Yes. Good evening, everyone. First, I'd like to say, as always, I have enjoyed the lesson tonight.
Thank you.
I think I want to try to answer the question you said, are we keeping the covenant,
mm-hmm.
the new covenant? And if I'm not misspeaking, I want to say in the old covenant, you know, they had begun to start to do any and everything, a lot of things, and not worship God like they should. But
mm-hmm.
with the new covenant, I believe that there are a lot of people that are keeping the new covenant, but I think there are many more people that today, in today's world, that are now starting to revert back to just doing anything. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
when I say that, it's so much killing of each other. You know, sometimes even
mm-hmm.
your own brother nowadays, or just doing any, as the world would say, any and everything you're bad enough to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think we're getting away from it again.
Right. Right. I think you're right, and I think there's a danger in that as well, because one of the stipulations was that, you know, if you don't keep this covenant, you'll cease to be a nation. And that's the thing I think we're looking at now in America. We're almost at the brink of ceasing to be a nation because of the fact that even though, listen, everybody knows who Jesus is. I mean, there's nowhere in the world
mm-hmm.
you can go without somebody calling the name of Jesus. I mean, it's not like Jesus is not known. It's in every language and written in every book, written all over the world. So we all know what we are supposed to do. So we can't say that we don't know any better. And just like you said, because we're not keeping these things that we know we're supposed to do, then we're doomed
mm-hmm.
to be in a situation where we might cease to exist as a nation. Because we know we're wrong. It's not that we don't know. We know we're wrong. And that's the most important thing there. I want to go to area code 919. Last four digits, 2534. 2534. Are you on the line?
Hey, Pastor. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm just listening tonight.
Okay. No problem. No problem. Area code 336. Last four digits, 3769. Are you on the line?
Hey, Pastor Rogers, this is Reverend Williams. How you doing today?
Hey, Reverend, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Doing great.
That's good. I enjoyed the message. And I think for us holding the covenant or keeping the covenant, I think a lot of times it has to do with our faith. See,
mm-hmm.
when our faith is weak, just because we don't
mm-hmm.
see what God is doing, we tend to kind of veer away. If we see something happening, I guess you got to say it like this right here. you got to show me because I'm from the show me state. And a lot of us have that mentality. So therefore, if we don't see, if we get it to that point to where God is not, we feel like God is not working in our favor, then what's the use of keeping the covenant?
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says when you have faith, you got to have, your faith got to be strong enough to withstand and to know that God is working in your favor no matter what is going on in this world. And I think if our faith was a little bit stronger, I think we wouldn't have no problem with holding up to the covenant that he gave us.
I think you're absolutely right. That's where our weakness comes in. I think the faith issue is going to always be the thing that's going to hold us back. If we don't come to a realization of faith in Christ, then I think we're going to always, and all the old anger, all the whole old hurt, all the old betrayal, all the old heartache, all the old things that have happened to us will always plague us if we don't get that faith issue correct. And if we, like you say, Reverend, when we get that faith issue correct, then we will see us prospering as a people who deserve to make and have a new covenant. Reverend, while I got you on the phone, when we accept Christ, Jesus responds by calling us his servant. What do you think that means, a servant? What does that mean?
A servant. You know, it's funny because when I became an ordained deacon, the minister that ordained me made sure that I knew what a servant was. And a servant is somebody who serves the people. You know, they don't one time do they think about themselves, but they actually serve the people. Now, if you take and turn that around back to studied the Bible and studied Jesus, not one time did Jesus think about himself. He walked around and he served everybody that he could. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed the hungry. He counseled. He cast devils out. Not one time did he ask for any reciprocation. He walked around and he served. And us as Christian believers, we are supposed to do what he does. We're supposed to walk around. We're supposed to work in the church, and we're supposed to serve one another, help one another. When you happy, I'm happy, and we both praise God. When you down, I'm down. We both go down on our knees and pray and ask the Lord to help whatever the situation may be. It's different things that we can help and do for each other as brothers and sisters. We're supposed to love one another, and it don't cost you anything to love somebody. But nowadays, we always looking at what you got, and then we get jealous, and then we get mad. And, you know, different things goes into effect when we call ourselves serving each other. We always trying to spite each other. So.
Well, thank you. Absolutely. Thank you. You did a wonderful job explaining that. I thank you so very much. Area code 910, last four digits 5088. 5088, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you tonight?
All right. I enjoyed the lesson tonight. I don't have anything to add to the lesson, but I really enjoyed the lesson, learning about the new covenant.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Deacon Fuller, are you still with me? Deacon Fuller? Deacon Fuller, are you still with me? You might have your phone on mute. Deacon Fuller? All right.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Are you there? Okay. I want to come back to you with a question. This particular portion of Scripture is widely believed to have been written while the people were still in captivity. Why do you think God wanted them to hear this before they were released?
To reassure their faith, you see, the before and the after effect. You see what I'm saying? Before, he wanted them to hear it to show that there's proof in the pudding that that what he's saying too. He's true to words. You know, and while they were in captivity, yes, he's telling them about this new covenant. But folks won't realize, the realization really won't hit until they have been released. And then folks, it's just like poop in the clay.
Okay. I want to go to Trustee Mangum. Trustee Mangum, are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Today we have all kind of contracts. We have all kind of agreements with each other. We make contracts for work. We make contracts for business. What do you think is the do you think that we have trivialized covenants and commitments over the years because they're so easily to be broken?
Do you think we have trivialized?
I think we have. In other words, if you cut on the news on right now, there's a big to do about what's going on in Russia and the Ukraine and the United States and NATO. Now, there were agreements written a long time ago. There were contracts and agreements and commitments written years ago. But it seemed like none of that stuff even matters anymore. Do you think that we have trivialized commitments?
I'm not sure on that one, Reverend Rogers. I think Reverend Williams won't say something.
Reverend Williams, what do you think about that?
You got me there. I think what you're trying to ask is, do you think, are we serious about our agreements, right? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Contracts? Okay.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's more or less, it's what I can get. If I can monopolize and make money off the contract, then I'll honor it. If I can't get nothing out of it, no, I'm not going to honor it. I'm going to do whatever I can where I can get what I want out of it. And that's the way our society is.
Yeah, we've got to the point now. And this is what Israel did the first time around. That covenant that God made with them was only good as long as they were afraid of him. And they could, you know, they could get something out of it. You know, they wanted him to keep on providing food for them, keep on providing water for them while they were in the wilderness. And as long as God did that, they were fine. But if you notice, once they got in the promised land and God told them they had to work for themselves and get themselves together, that's when they started messing up. But as long as they could get fed every day, as long as manna was being rained from heaven, as long as God was showing them a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day, they were willing to go along. But as soon as they got to what they wanted, they did not need to keep a covenant anymore with the Lord. And this is why this covenant is so important for us to understand today, because we can do the same thing that the Israelites did during the first covenant. We can claim that covenant. We can say we keep that covenant, that we love the Lord and all of that. And yet we can do things behind the scenes like these people did that show that we don't really love him, that show that we don't really respect him, that show that we don't really follow him. God wants us to be a righteous people. But just like Israel, we got a way of putting on a good show. We can make folks think we're saved. We can dance all over the church. We can speak in 7, 8, 9 different tongues. We can do all of that to make folks think that we say. But when it comes down to how you treat God and how you treat your fellow man, we break that covenant more times than often. And that's what I'm coming to today. That's why I say it's very important for us to understand this new covenant. Because this new covenant has stipulations on it, just like the old covenant did. If we do not and keep this covenant, he said we will cease to exist as a nation. In other words, he'll wipe us away as a people, as a nation. And I come to tell you this morning or this evening that we are on the verge of that right now, of being wiped away as a nation because we have lost our faith. We have lost the ability to keep our word with God.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have no problem making the contract, we got a problem keeping the contract. You know, mm-hmm. that's the thing with me. I remember I went to go get a rental car not too long ago, and the lady said, we don't have no cars. I said, well, I made a reservation. She said, well, we don't. I said, what's the point of the reservation then? Well, the reservation is supposed to hold a car. Am I right about it? So either we're going to keep our word or we're not going to keep our word. We can't say that we got a covenant mm-hmm. with God and then don't keep the covenant ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's most mm-hmm. important for us doing this lesson that Jeremiah wants to stress to us. Reverend Williams, does anyone else have anything they'd like to say?
Hey, Reverend Roger, I'd like to say my grandma and my granddad and my great-grandma, when I was a little kid, I would hear them always talk mm-hmm. about your word. See, black folk didn't have mm-hmm. back in them days. Mm-hmm. But when they went to get furniture, when they went to get loans, and when they went to borrow whatever they needed, their word was their bond.
Right.
And see, if we could have something back from that day, and we could say, well, God, you know, my word is my bond, and he could take us for our word. Just think mm-hmm. how the world would be today.
Yeah.
You just think about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I got to say, Reverend Roger.
Well, thank you so very much. Deacon Fuller, would you lead us in prayer?
Yes, sir. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us together, Lord, virtually, Lord, over the phone, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to be able to rise up this morning for a reasonable portion of health, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for being able to comprehend the word, Lord, and apply it to our lives, Lord. We thank you tonight, Lord, for this Bible study that has been presented to us, Jesus, Lord. We have learned about the covenant, Lord. We learned that it's very important, Lord, that both sides keep their word, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for allowing this stuff to infiltrate our hearts, Lord. Lord, allow us to apply it to our day-to-day lives, Lord, so that people will see you in us, Lord, and draw nigh to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 I want to thank all of you for being on the line tonight. We pray God's blessing upon you. And don't forget, Sunday morning, 10 a.m., live on Facebook Live. We come live from the sanctuary of First Baptist of Holly Springs. We're going to have a great time this Sunday, so be sure that you tune in. I want to thank again all of you for being on the line tonight, and those of you who will hear this Bible study long after it has been recorded. Don't forget to visit the Facebook page and be a part of the First Baptist of Holly Springs community. God bless all of you tonight. And have a great night. God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
I don't want
my mention here
in this world.
It makes no difference
who knows my name.
All I want to know is that I'm born again. Once
my life
was filled with sin.
Jesus
met me with a smile.